This podcast is shared for the purposes of information only. The discussion does not reflect a direct or implied endorsement by Municipal World or its members.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Scott Fokey. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, the celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. Today, I'm being joined by York Region CAO, Bruce McGregor. Bruce is a senior management executive with more than two decades of public service experience. In his current role as CAO of the Regional Municipality of York, Bruce brings an innovative approach to the delivery of programs and services to more than 1.1 million residents across nine local municipalities. Bruce and I are going to be talking about a recent staff report titled "The Effectiveness of Virtual Council Meetings and the Future Resumption of In-Person Participation and Its Implications for Other Municipalities." Welcome, Bruce.
Hi, Scott. Great to be here.
Well, thanks for taking the time. We'll jump right into it because the topic at hand is of interest, I think, to pretty much everybody these days in a pandemic world. And so my first question for you is, the report states that virtual meetings has been effective as in-person meetings and have actually seen increased participation. More people are watching, more people participated, and council considered more items than was typically the case pre-pandemic. Can you share some of the data that speaks to this increase with our listeners?
Sure. Happy to do that, Scott. And first of all, I should call out and express my appreciation for both our clerks staff who put this report together in the first place, and also to our council, actually, who asked for the report when faced with very quickly, very promptly, as most of us were in March of 2020, the need to convert to virtual meetings to keep the business of our municipalities going. But our council wanted this feedback and wanted an update at the end of last year. And our clerk's department looked at two time periods for their assessment. They looked at the period from January of 2019 to March of 2020. So most of us will recognize that as pre-COVID, when people were meeting in person, and our council meetings were no exception. And then contrasted that with the virtual period from April of 2020 to June of 2021, and specifically looked at four key areas: the total viewers of our meetings on stream. We've been web streaming our meetings for years, so there's good comparative information there. The number of meetings, both Committee of the Whole and Council, and that's how most of the regional business is carried out. We have three corporations and a few task forces, but most of our business goes through Committee of the Whole, cycles through Committee of the Whole and council meetings. The number of deputations and the number of items considered. And in all four areas, significant increases. First of all, with respect to viewers, we're up almost 150%. The number of meetings, of course, we also have responsibility for public health. So quite understandably, the number of the meetings of council were up by just under 30%. Deputations were up significantly, and that reflects participation. We're a regional council, so we meet during the day, and it's a weekday, of course. So most people, if they wanted to make a deputation to council pre-COVID, would have had to arrange to have that day off or otherwise be there while they were employed on behalf of their employers. So the number of deputations was up almost three times over what we would have normally anticipated in that pre-COVID period. And finally, the number of items considered. So not only did we have more meetings, but the meetings weren't light by any gesture. We had 66%, almost two-thirds more increase in the number of items considered by council. So in each instance, the numbers virtually exceeded, and in fact, literally exceeded, in-person results for the same period of time.
Oh, that's fascinating. I'm hearing anecdotally that very similar experience across different municipalities, but it's great to hear that you've actually quantified it and you have that previous benchmark to compare it to. Do you have any formal or informal feedback from council and staff on electronic and hybrid meetings?
So as always, we have both. We have positive comments, certainly, regarding the ease of access to virtual meetings, and we're thankful we've had very few hiccups. And when you think about how quickly we transitioned, as many councils do, to Zoom. We had a particular interest in that technology over some of the options like Teams, WebEx, and others, because we have a large council. It's a regional council. We've got geographic representation across an area that's three times the size of the city of Toronto and has nine local municipalities. So we have a 21-member council. Hard to see the full screen unless you're using a technology like Zoom where the chair can manage everyone. So we got going, to our pleasant surprise, much more easily. There was obviously some heavy lifting done by our clerks. I don't want to oversimplify it, but several council members throughout the pandemic were pleased to see that the technology was working well, and there was no apparent urgency to resume in-person meetings. In other words, nothing suggesting that we weren't able to fully debate, discuss, and consider the matters that were before council in electronic fashion. Advisory committee members have commented on the time savings realized by not having to travel to the regional administrative building. And, you know, foremost among those are the accessibility advisory committee that have to make travel arrangements before and after the meeting and need some predictability and have some bigger challenges scheduling those traveling opportunities. So I think very pleased. In fact, I don't have to think. We've heard directly from them that they're very pleased with the opportunity, as many of us have found, to be able to join in productive meetings from the comfort of our own homes, particularly on days when weather makes it difficult to travel.
Yeah, so, it's interesting you raise the accessibility lens there.
Well, we have a few advisory committees. We have an agricultural advisory committee, and they too come from far afield. No pun intended there, but they too have, and we have a planning advisory committee, and these are all people who have busy lives. They're not remunerated for their role, but their input is very much appreciated. So to reduce the challenges of getting their input and their advice to the point of making it convenient for them has also been very effective for us. We did have some challenges with technology, glitchy audio or video for members occasionally, but that happens in all cases. Some of us will reflect back on the early days of Zooming and the phenomenon of Zoom bombing. We did have in one of our local municipalities a public meeting interrupted by some Zoom bombing, but we've been fortunate. We've moved from the meeting mode of Zoom into the presentation mode, and as a consequence, we're accepting virtual deputations, and it's working very well.
Now, you did mention the lower tier municipalities, the nine of them, and I noticed in the report that there was a bit of a split in terms of how they're dealing with remote and hybrid, with three opting for hybrid and six for fully virtual council meetings. Have you heard from them about the effectiveness of these two formats?
So they too have been reporting to their council relative to the effectiveness of their council meetings, but we share our reports. We try to do things and everything we do collaboratively. So we would have shared how our report was being framed with our local partners. And it really depends on a number of things, including the size of your council, the geography that has to be traveled to get to council meetings. We are an extraordinary example, and I've already pointed out that there's a lot of terrain to cover in York Region for some of our municipal participants on regional council. And so that's a factor that might not be applicable, for example, to some of our more compact communities. We have compact communities like Aurora that may be more interested in meeting when they can in person. But a drive across town in Aurora is 5 to 10 minutes, not the 50 to 60 minutes or more it can take for someone coming to the regional headquarters in Newmarket.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. I can certainly relate to someone who lives here in Newmarket that getting from Southern Richmond Hill or Southern Vaughan to here during peak times can be challenging. Speaking of lessons learned, are there any lessons learned that you think other municipalities beyond York Region and the Nine could benefit from?
So I think throughout this pandemic, we've been learning a lot of lessons, and they don't all come from the large municipalities. We sort of cherish the fact that our federation is made up of large urban municipalities like Vaughan, Markham, and Richmond Hill, medium size like Aurora, Newmarket, and some small municipalities like King Township, East Gwillimbury, Wichert, Stouffville, and Georgina. And from them, we gain and build on our experiences. We also noticed early in the pandemic, for example, we saw some meetings of Clearwater Township in Simcoe County, and they had used cards to get the attention of the speaker with a request to speak, and cards for voting as well. And when you have 21 members of council on the screen at one time, we recognize that that's a very convenient way, in the absence of any other bells and whistles, for example, on Zoom or any other electronic facilitation. That's a very easy, convenient way to get clarity around voting and participation, and in particular, request to speak. The technology, of course, hasn't yet mirrored the technology that we had in our council chambers. In other words, a speaker's list and the ability for the chairman of our, whoever's chairing our meetings, to manage that. But it's improving all the time. And I'm quite certain that as Zoom evolves, particularly in the public sector, and other tools become available, those capabilities will be advanced. The voting process, I mentioned our yes and no cards. I think we'll be looking to see what technology moves into the ability to do online voting, a capability that we weren't using in our council chambers very frequently, but the capability existed. Very important to maintain transparency all the time, and we're always making sure of that. For example, as we move into private sessions, which council can do for specific reasons under the Municipal Act, one of our requirements is that the participants in a private session always remain visible on the screen so the chair can be comfortable that confidentiality is being maintained. Similarly, we stipulate, for example, that members are required to turn on their cameras prior to a recorded vote, so it's clear that we can see who's present during recorded votes, which, you know, only come up by request and need to be dealt with transparently. So we have to be open with our participants and set appropriate expectations. Our meetings weren't perfect from the outset, but as we listened to feedback from both council members and from the public, and we like everything else we do, we make ongoing improvements and make things better for everyone.
So I know this is not your decision alone to make, but do you think council will stick with hybrid meetings after the pandemic?
So I try to avoid speculating on what council will do. And that's part of an absolute respect for the fact that the decision is theirs. And so I'm hoping they will. I think there are some, we didn't touch on it, but there's some green imperatives here too. I mean, what we recognized through COVID, we solved a couple of things in our capacity as a municipality through COVID. We solved traffic congestion, and we solved to some extent, homelessness, to an extent that we hadn't been able to before. And it's because of the efforts that had to be put into those areas, in particular traffic congestion, you could argue solved itself because people weren't going anywhere. Mm. But I think the virtual meetings in our case are certainly green. We're saving many of our transportation problems on account of people in single occupancy vehicles moving to jobs that can be equally well performed from where they sit otherwise. And so that's not going to replace all of those responsibilities, but it's going to go a long way to reducing the rush on traffic that we have incredibly around peak hour traffic. And so very much looking forward to council's deliberation on this, and a determination that while in-person meetings, I think, are going to be required, you can't build a social network, a network of trusted colleagues, without occasionally at least convening in person, and not necessarily just having business in front of you, but also having the opportunity, for example, for education sessions and the informal discussions that come up amongst individuals at coffee breaks and in other spaces and places. So I'm hoping that as we move forward, certainly virtual meetings will play a part in how council conducts their business, certainly in how our advisory committees are run in the future. And we'll see how council determines they should meet, when and how, and on what matters potentially going forward in person.
Well, I'm going to push you to speculate a little bit more here. do you think there'll be any spillover? So any use of this digital technology for other services? And, you know, the one that comes top of mind for me is this fall's municipal election, for example.
Oh, sure, there could be. I'm sure many elected officials now will be continuing with virtual meetings. It really makes best use of their time when you think about it. You know, the travel alone between venues to engage with groups, that won't disappear. I think people always need a touch point, but I think the opportunity to accelerate the number of people you can connect with through virtual technologies has been amply demonstrated. And it really is a good forum for people having the same platform. I mean, no matter whether you're extroverted or introverted, you can push the hand up button and then prepare your question, and you can do it from a comfortable space. We all know from public meetings that when there's a microphone or two in the on the floor, there's always a few people that have no hesitation at all about getting in line for that microphone, and as soon as they're finished, getting back in line so they can speak again. And I think the virtual world is improving at a significant pace to the point where we can hear from more people in those circumstances.
So, Bruce, the last question I have for you is one I ask of all guests and has nothing to do with our subject matter. What is the best book that you've read recently?
The best is a challenge. I read a few a year, so I sort of keep track of what I'm reading. I think my clerks would have liked me to have responded Robert's Rules of Order, which I understand is now in its 12th edition. But I'll go a little further. I've always had a fascination with organizational behavior and human behavior generally. And I'm reading an excellent title right now. It's about a 700-page missive, but it's by a fellow named Robert Sapolsky. He's an eminent neurologist at Stanford. And he's written a book entitled Behave. And it looks to human behavior individually and in groups and as a society. And he's done some work with primates too, which you can have a lot of fun with. So that's my read of the month. Anyway, I have a feeling this book might be around for a few months because I tend to pick up a few at a time, and this one's a bit of a slug.
Right. Sounds dense but fascinating. Thank you, Bruce, and thanks for making the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
Thank you, Scott. Really enjoyed the chat.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Be sure to check out Social, Open, and Big in the Municipal World Bookshop. Rick Akin's book makes a convincing case that governments that understand the importance of participation can capitalize on numerous opportunities. On behalf of Municipal World, I wish you peace and purpose. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.